realfaith.org.au. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time, and Bing Crosby is on the radio singing about Christmas snow. And for one day, one glorious day, the shops cease their screaming. The neighbors go from their quiet, cold selves to mildly friendly with a shy smile and gentle wave. It's like magic. It's happening. It's Christmas time.
Welcome to Real Faith. Conversations about the impact faith has on our lives and the challenges we go through. Helping us today and giving us hope for tomorrow. That's Real People, Real Life and Real Faith with Eric Scatterbo.
Welcome to a special Christmas edition of Real Faith. And we have a special treat for you today. Award-winning poet, writer, and performer John Iglesias is with us, and he will be reciting his poem, It's Christmas Time. And it really captures the spirit of this time of year here in Australia. Welcome to the program, John Iglesias.
G'day, how are we doing?
Glad to have you with us. And hey, that was such a great experience. The other night, my wife and I went to see It's a Wonderful Life. They did a 1940s radio drama version of it. This was a play at a local church. Actually, it was a number of churches combined put this on.
Yes.
But before it all began, they had some Christmas carols, and then some guy said a poem. And that was you.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, I was contacted by the organizers of that group. I have connection with Christian Artist Factory and the Australian Fireplace Group, a collection of Christian artists here in Australia.
All people I know nothing about.
All good and well. They basically got in touch with me and said, we would love to have some poetry to intersperse with the music, but would like it to be centered around wonder, which was the theme for the entire night.
Okay.
And so I gave some thought to it and went, how do I talk about Christmas and what happens for me? And because I'm from a huge family, I'm the second of five boys.
You have a Greek background.
Greek background. As you can tell from the surname in Glezos, a bit of a mouthful. I decided, well, the best way to recount it is to talk about the mayhem of the day.
Now, and just wait, so, did you write that poem just for this occasion?
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was like, you know, when you just pulled out of your pocket.
No. Bespoke poetry. Doing stuff tailor-made is always, I think, more personal.
My wife and I had the special treat of hearing the debut of your poem.
Yes.
So this was specially for this performance that we were able to hear.
That's right.
Well, let's share it with our audience here today.
Great. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time, and Bing Crosby is on the radio singing about Christmas snow. And for one day, one glorious day, the shops cease their screaming. The neighbors go from their quiet, cold selves to mildly friendly with a shy smile and gentle wave. It's like magic. It's happening. It's Christmas time, and the chicken is roasting, and the gravy is stirred, and the potatoes are baked, and fresh crusty bread is buttered thick right to the edges. We pull out the fancy cutlery, set the table with the best we can supply, shake the dust off the ornaments, set out the long candles, re-glue the gifts back into the wise men's hands. I have to say it. It's such a strange way to mark off the time. To place a tree inside the living room, we turn each branch heavy and adorn this prickly pine with any color we can find. The angel which I made when I was little is dangled precariously, yet takes pride of place in the center of the tree. It is painted silver and is made entirely out of pasta. Tubular rigatoni body, macaroni curved arms, cappelletti for a halo and strange smile, and those little bow ties for the wings. How this little fragile thing has lasted all these years, I'll never know. It's Christmas time, and the doorbell keeps ringing, and every time you open it, someone you love greets you. How is that even possible? And they shake off the weather, and they step across the threshold, and they've brought you something, and it smells delicious, and it looks shiny, and it feels weighty. And we are bowled over by a crashing embrace, and this is when home is home. It's Christmas time, and the kids are running laps around the living room, dodging, grabbing hands like rabbits in a veggie patch. And just like every other year, my great uncle gives us yet another tin of butter cookies. I think he has bought them in bulk and keeps them stowed in a secret pantry somewhere. I like the biscuits shaped like a pretzel. They'll be the first to go because they have the most sugar on them. children know these things. It's Christmas time, and for at least one day, we live like we are in abundance, even if we are not. Connect the tables, pull back the chairs, make room for more. Even if there is not, there is always room for more. The lights sparkle, the laughter grows, the carols play, the conversation swells, the voices raise, the newborn prays, the noise is joy, and something is burning. It's Christmas time, and the chicken is on fire, and the potatoes aren't helping, and my grandma is telling stories, and my grandpa is talking politics, and the wine has strangely vanished, and there is wrapping everywhere, and the house is a mess, but give thanks, everyone, give thanks. Another year has come and gone. Scrape off the burnt bits. Serve one another. We made it. Yes, we made it. Mind you, we don't always agree. Years on, and there still remains the less than ideal table conversations that really could have been saved for another time but weren't. For better or worse, we are here, together, as family. My mother sheds a proud tear seeing everybody seated and fed. It's Christmas time, and the dishes pile high, and the stomachs stretch, and the songs vanish into the air, and after every in-law has been hugged, and every parent has been thanked, and the tide recedes, and the silence settles in, we survey the wreckage. Oh boy. It all seems so much effort. And at my most cynical, I probably ask, why do we do this? It seems so impractical. My bank account is screaming, and the rat race is still waiting. How long may we keep this mad animation suspended? How do we show the people that are special to us that they are special to us? How do we do this? Remember, how do I do this right? Remember, in all the brimming and the boiling over, this day anchors into the deep of me. We are marking off the time like heights against the doorframe. Reread my father's handwritten cards. Replay all the laughter. Hold these gifts. Be thankful. Yes, it's just a scarf, but it was hand-knitted. Yes, it's just a meal. Oh, but it's what you do with it. Yes, it's just a pair of socks, but, well, my other ones were getting old. Yes, it's just a picture, but you drew us and used every color in the set. We hold on to the good bits. Scrape off the burnt bits. It's Christmas time. It's messy and it's noisy, and we crash like a tide against one another. This day is a converging of all the waves, a confluence of young and old. We receive each other in all our scurf and scurry, and my shoreline does not feel the same as before. I have been shifted. I have trodden and I have been tread upon. It's Christmas time. It is costly, but it is lovely. So much is given because so much has been given. In this time, in this place, in this life, hasn't this all been so terribly wonderful? We are sorry grateful. We are tired full. We are striving freedom. We are empty abundance. We are exhausted delight. We are clumsy waltzing. We tumble through this thing together, and I would not miss it for the world. It's Christmas time. So wrap your hearts in paper. Write your love into a card. Seal it in an envelope. Engrave hope in every embrace. Hang your memories like ornaments you do not wish to break. It seems so quaint, so unreasonable, like an angel made from pasta, but joy. Joy is not a thing which can be seen unless it is dangled precariously. And all of this is the least we can do, to mark off the season and give thanks and say, yes, I have been blessed. It's Christmas time, and this time would not be the same without you. And I would not be the same without you. Thank you.
It's Christmas time, and that really sums it up. The good, the bad, the ugly, I guess you could say.
Everything in between.
What's kind of the big idea behind some of that?
Well, for myself, the intention of this was to focus on gratitude and family. I also think that, I mean, this is a season that we've been given to remember Christ and to understand that in as much as a gift was given divinely then, we have this opportunity to overflow now. And I think that people will do that in whatever capacity and means they can. Sometimes people are well off, and sometimes we're sharing things and doing very humble meals. But I think that this particular time of year marks off or gives people opportunity to say, "I wish to respond in a way which is abundant." And I believe that that is a far more encouraging and hopeful narrative than what we're hearing on the news.
And what has been the response?
The response for this particular poem has been people saying it reminds them of certain Christmases they've had. It brings back, I mean, nostalgia is a wonderful thing, and the provoking of memory of scent and sight and sound. I've had people say that this reminds them of childhood or reminds them of having loved ones around that aren't around anymore. It's full spectrum because you're just providing a space for people to access their imagination. Imagination is the back door to the soul. You know, people unravel that and sort of go, "Wow, I didn't realize there is all of these things in memory that I go back to these rooms."
And you're kind of unlocking those rooms, so to speak, for the listener.
Absolutely.
In your own way. But for you uniquely, you had the macaroni ornament.
Oh, yes. No, it was a Sunday school project of, you know, like sticking together these elements into a shape and then, you know, painting it silver or gold. I picked silver and I don't know how it is, but I think Mum, you know, wrapped it up in cotton balls or something, but it lasted for years.
It's,
you know, I don't know if it's still around now. I don't know if it survived a couple of house moves, but you know, it was
there a long time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, these things get accumulated and then put away. But, you know, the things that people hold, whether that's, you know, physical items or, you know, just memories in your head, there's so much to be treasured.
Our guest today is award-winning poet, writer, and performer John Iglesias, and he's sharing with us some of his Christmas poetry. Next, we're going to find out about his background and how he became involved in writing poetry in the first place. All that and more when we return right here on this special Christmas edition of Real Faith.
Looking for resources to grow your faith? Check out Vision Christian Store with books, movies, audio CDs, DVD resources and more. Plus, free delivery on orders over $50. See visionstore.org.au. You're listening to Real Faith, conversations with real people about how God works in their lives. If you want to know more about integrating faith into your life, our website is realfaith.org.au. Just go to the website and you'll find helpful articles about the impact faith can have on your life. Once again, that's realfaith.org.au.
Welcome back to this special Christmas edition of Real Faith. I'm Eric Scadabo, and our guest today is award-winning poet, writer, and performer John Iglesias. Before the break, we heard him recite his poem called It's Christmas Time. And in a little bit, he'll share with us another poem he's written inspired by Christmas called Even Now. But first, John will share a little bit about his background and how he became a poet in the first place.
I was born in Adelaide but raised in Melbourne. I'm the second of five boys with Greek parents on both sides of the family. Raised as Australian, never learned the language, never learned the Greek language. The Australian language is a whole other can of worms. Because Mum and Dad met in a choir at university, I've always had music and theatre and performance as part of my upbringing. Mm-hmm. I grew up in music theatre. I've been performing in non-professional productions since I was 16. At a particular point in time, I realized that it was a lot of effort to rehearse and learn other people's words over and over. So I took what I had been doing in high school by way of writing things and doing poetry just into a page and you know, addressing, you know, bullying and questions of identity and all that kind of thing, and then turning it towards using the open mic scene that exists in Melbourne and sharing story and saying, well, I've learned some things and and I want to impart hope. This is the thing that I have in me that I want to overflow. So, I was encouraged, care of a gentleman called Joel McCarro, who's, an Australian known poet, and very well published. And he encouraged me to get up on stage and do the thing. Why keep it inside of a book?
I'm just reflecting, listening to you, that why aren't there more Christian poets? Because a large part of the Bible is poetry. You know, the whole book of Psalms is there. And of course, your tradecraft is working with words.
Yes.
Well, Jesus was the Word.
That's right. Word become flesh.
Yeah.
I also note, like, you know, the first thing that comes out of Adam's mouth, you know, in as much as it's recorded in the Bible, is poetry. You know, God says, name the animals, but they don't set about recounting a list there. It's only when he sees woman, he says, at last, bones of my bones, flesh of my flesh. It's exclamation, simile on simile.
Thank you for that little English lesson.
I love it. So the idea that...
But it's poetry.
It is poetry. I think that
it is kind of just. Maybe just stop here. Let's just stop. The first time a man saw a woman, he exclaimed, "Poetry!"
That's right. Absolutely, absolutely. Message to both the men and the women out there.
There you go. Now you have not only done poetry; you also did an internship at your church.
Yes, I was.
How did that go?
That was immense. It switched on my brain, like, big time. I'm a very inquisitive mind, and part of, I suppose, not having, you know, the happiest upbringing in school just sort of meant that, you know, I've had a lot of time to sort of, you know, dig through God's word myself.
What was the issue in school?
Well, I was, being Greek Australian, there's obviously the racial aspect of things, not to be able to, not that you're necessarily, you know, called wog or these sorts of things. But I look different. I sound different. I was hairier than other people, you know, pick a feature and I would be different from the norm. For myself, the narrative that I was receiving at school is that you are too much this or you're not enough that. Be taller, be quieter, sit lower, you know, don't speak so loud, don't, you know, stick your neck out.
Whatever you do, don't say that poetry stuff.
Don't say that poetry stuff, you know, don't, you know, share in the context that we expect you to share in, and fit neatly. But, you know, the narrative that I was receiving at home was from my parents, you know, Psalm 139, you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, all of God's works is marvelous, you know that right well. And my anchor point has been in what God has declared over me in my life to be able to say that I am a work in progress. I am fearfully one and made. I am his child. Those are the anchor points that no matter what other circumstance it's about blowing around, those are things that have, if nothing else, kept me sane. and given me permission to say, no, I have voice. I do have something to share, and I've been made to listen. I've been made to be heard. And so I will take that opportunity.
Wow. So on a practical level, your faith really anchored you.
Absolutely.
Going back to your poetry,
yeah,
you've had some tremendous success.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
So within my introduction into the Melbourne spoken word scene was to be the sacrificial poet. The sacrificial poet is the person who warms up the crowd at the beginning of a night.
I was wondering what that meant.
The sacrificial poet is the one who basically warms up the crowd and says, gives the judges sort of like a litmus test, but it's a non-scored outcome. So the main competition gathering within Melbourne is called Slam-a-Lama Ding Dong. It's a mouthful. And it is.
Sounds like something arty people would come up with.
It sounds like something arty, but you're quite right. There is this conversation, you know, do we need to, you know, rechange it, make it simpler?
I was
a sacrificial poet, and this particular night, the grand finals of this particular year, everyone is bringing their dark nugget that they've had stored up for the year to present on the table. And so they put this, you know, big, heavy, heavy piece in. And I came in and I did a piece called If the World Were Upside Down. It was about a man saying, yeah, what if the rich were poor, and what if the poor were rich, and what if we stopped and spent time around the fireplace, and a whole bunch of what ifs. And it was, it was rhyming. It was done in the style of Dr. Seuss, and it's now the title of my book. But at any rate, I performed that, and I ended up scoring better than the competitors.
Wow.
Which, not that my scores matter, but it was one of those things where I went, wow, you can bring all this calls to arms, heavy sort of things, or you can bring something that is hopeful, that is questioning, and it's saying what if, and it's opening up that potential for further thought and reflection. So I have been in the spoken word scene now for 6 years. I'm the Melbourne 2015 spoken word champion. So I won a couple of years later.
Wow.
I've represented from Australia. So the Slammer team sent a crew of four poets across to America to represent in the National Poetry Slam over there, which is effectively like the Olympics of poetry.
Wow.
And so the director of that place said, you guys are the newest team. Get up and, you know, perform something in a couple of minutes. I jumped up and I performed a piece called I Was There, which is basically saying, one of the lines is, a young lady once said to me, I always thought about writing poetry, but someone else has already written it, probably done it better, so why should I bother? And so I said to her, every note on the piano has already been played, yet we still play. You know, God created you to be heard, so be heard. We're not your competition, we are your audience. And which got, you know, a fairly good response.
yeah.
But yeah, when you tell people, you know, that the sharing of a thing is part of, you know, is part of the divine gift of life.
Well, speaking of poetry, you have another poem for us.
Yes.
In keeping with the Christmas season.
Yes.
What is this one called?
This one's called Even Now. And I wrote it a couple of years ago, just before Christmas Day. Even now, even now, even now, we trawl through all the bad news for some good. Even now, people struggle through oppression and seek freedom. Even now, the stargazers look up hopeful at the sky. Even now, broken hearts all cry out for peace and healing. Even now, the earth groans like a mother in first labor. Even now, corrupt rulers fear a baby in a manger. Even now, the soul thirsts and keeps thirsting for its savior. Even now, God draws near, hears our cry, enter story. Even now, Emmanuel, God is with us, God is for us. Even now, a father's worry, a mother's heart, all flows over. Even now, a child born means the story gets to change. Even now, wise men seek him, are amazed at this deep mystery. Even now, all the stars blink their eyes, quite astonished. Even now, it's profound. God came down to cry with us. Even now, we are waiting. We are seeking. We are holding. Even now, the greatest life is the humblest life laid down. Even now, heaven's whisper, peace and goodwill, God's own favor. Even now, God's inviting people to his loving arms. Even now, come and see, this heart of mine is gently healing. Even now, I am learning, I am growing, I am changing. Even now, Emmanuel, God is with us, God is for us. Even now, he is here, he is love, and that's good news. Even now, even now, even now. Thank you.
Amen. Just love that image of God's loving arms are waiting for us, and something to dwell on during the Christmas season.
Yes.
And the whole year through. Don Iglesias, thank you so much for sharing your story and your poetry with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our guest today has been poet, writer, and performer John Iglesias. And if you'd like to find out more about him, you can just do a Google search. Type in John E. Poetry. That's John E. Poetry. And you can find out what he's doing and some of his poetry on YouTube and Facebook and all those different places that are on the internet. That's John E. Poetry. Just type that into Google and do a Google search and find out more about John Iglesias.
You've been listening to Real Faith, and if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a message through our website, realfaith.org.au. That's realfaith.org.au. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join us again next time for more conversations about God working in the lives of people who put their faith and trust in Him. That's real people, real life, and real faith.
This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.